Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
The video. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crap Ends, a podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Bravo and Netflix, sometimes even Hulu. Really, we're just watching TV. I'm Ben Mandelker of the Game Brain podcast and also The Real Housewives of Kitchen Island, which is a cartoon parody of The Real Housewives of New York. And joining me in his beautiful tie-dye shirt, in this beautiful, beautiful brown chair, it's Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Hi, Ben. I'm on my squeaky brown chair today, everybody.
It's nice. It's a really nice chair. I like it a lot. It's much nicer than my like generic black IKEA chair.
Hey, but, I'm not gonna shame anybody's chairs. Chairs do the most important work in the world, guys.
They really do. They do a lot. Although some chairs are really not very good. And I'm like, you do the most important thing. Why are you not doing your job right now?
Any chair is better than no chair, okay? Any chair is a winner in my book.
Any chair will do. Except maybe an electric chair. So the reason why we are able to comment
on each other's
chairs.
Sometimes even those are helpful in this world. Let's talk about the death penalty when we're about to talk about the sweetest show ever invented, okay?
Well, let me tell you something. It's the sweetest show, but guess what's going to kill us all at the end of the day? Cakes, okay? So we are talking Great British Bake Off today. And if you want to have an even larger Crappens experience, you don't have to just listen to this recap. You can watch us. You can see us and our chairs on Crappens On Demand. Go to watchourcrappens.com and look at the tab for Patreon, etc. Or just go to patreon.com/watchourcrappens and sign up the Crappens On Demand level. It gives you access to not only our video recaps, but also our bonus episode that we do once a week. And also Crappens Discord, which is now officially, I think it's officially a community now. There's a lot of discussion going on. And it's super cool. So go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
So here we are, the Great British Baking Show. Now, this is a show everybody has probably watched at least once on the old Netflix, because it's really comforting. I mean, it's not as comforting as binging on cake, tell you that.
Nope.
But it is comforting, and it's just so lovely. And I watch it all the time. I really love this show. I haven't watched it in a long time, but we saw that it was coming back right when we had a hole in our schedule, and we thought, well, Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah, like custard filling a donut. Why don't we just put that Great British Baking Show right on our schedule? I love, love, love this show. I've always loved it since I started watching it a few years ago. I'm surprised that I love it despite the various cast changes that they've had. I mean, you know, we all remember the Mary Berry days.
Yes.
And the former hostesses whose names I can't sue, and I forget their names actually right now. But it's a great show, and what's great about it is that really so much of the suspense comes from just how's shit gonna turn out. It's not about like being catty, it's not about like high drama, it's just like here's like a fussy British person.
Yeah.
You know, like putting something a little late into the oven and their world's about to collapse.
Now, so, as far as the cast changes, I was I kept watching, and they're releasing this one episode a week, which is different. You know, it's nice. It's not all at one time. At least for us, it's nice. So after the first one, they went back to they were showing a preview for another season, and Mary Berry was on there. And wow, I mean, the energy level has really changed, and it made me really appreciate that they're not American, you know, duh. I mean, obviously, but they're not like, you know what, let's go from a super energetic lady to an even younger, more energetic lady. They're like, no, get someone who's probably going to be dead in about 2 years because of diabetes, because she eats so much goddamn sugar, and talks really slowly, and does not give a crap about, like, speeding the show up at all. Because this Prue lady is just like...
I love Prue.
I've waited 84 years. You know, like that. Like that.
She is like, she is like a grand bird.
Titanic.
She's
I've been waiting 84 years.
Napru is great. And actually what's so nice is if you compare this show to any crappy baking show on the Food Network, it's just like, it's such a world of difference. The Food Network is just full of all these annoying audio cuts and stupid drama and stupid judges. Yeah. I mean, they're probably very capable judges, but it's just presented. They're presented like idiots, you know? And here it's like, you feel like these are smart
boss.
Professionals.
Shut up, Cake Boss.
Cake Boss had a
crazy
accident over the weekend. Did you hear about the Cake Boss's accident?
No, and of course I'm dissing Cake. Else are you going to diss Cake Boss? Like, when would I ever think to diss fucking Cake Boss of all people? And of course he just had a terrible accident.
No, I started reading the article and I actually had to stop because he has a bowling alley in his...
Of course he does. Of course fucking Cake
Boss. He has a bowling alley in his basement or something like that. And a pin got stuck or whatever in the machine. So he went to dislodge the pin and it grabbed his arm and it like...
Oh, you know, I know a bowling alley tragedy. I grew up in one. And yes, yeah. The bowling pin machine. And that's an old school bowling pin machine if it does that shit to you. Those things are not fucking around, okay? They will kill your ass.
Yeah, I think he's okay. I think ultimately he wanted to play breaking a finger, but like, I started reading words like crush.
No, don't go to the pin machine. Cause I'm like, I'll fix it. And I'm like marching down the aisle. They're like, no, Rondell, no.
Well, I'll tell you something. Some of the cakes in this episode look like they've been through a pin resetter machine.
Yeah, but they're difficult. I mean, the level of difficulty on this show is just incredible. Also, God, it's lovely just seeing big people, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's how I feel every time I come back home to Texas from really anywhere else. I just feel like, thank God I'm not the biggest one here. You know, like we're all complaining about our seats on the plane and it's like, fine. And I thought, look, these people don't like go to bed every night reading the fasting subreddit. Like, they're not doing that. They're fine. They're happy. They go to work every day. It's like, who cares? I'm fat, so I'm just going to move slower and eat some fucking cake. How about that, fucker?
Have you tried Viking death metal? I hear it's great to unwind to. So, this season, we are starting Collection 8. If you're listening to this at some point in the future, it's Collection 8 on Netflix. Just trust Netflix Collection 8 because there's all sorts of different idiosyncrasies or whatever. So Sandy, who had been our previous host along with Noel, who's still there, Sandy has left, which makes me sad because I loved Sandy. I loved how, like, starting with episode 5, she would start to cry anytime she had to eliminate someone. I loved, loved, loved Sandy. But she's gone. And so now we have Matt Lucas, who... I guess, is he from Little Britain? Is that what someone told me? Is that what my friend Katie told me? He was also in Bridesmaids, I think. I think he was like that creepy guy with Rebel Wilson who were like, we'd like to invite you to stop living with us.
He could be anything. He's kind of like a big Wii character, you know? Like,
yeah.
What do they call those? Wii Mies or whatever they are. I like him. I thought I was going to hate him because he's very like, look, I'm wacky.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to say a wacky thing and have a rolling pin on my head. And I'm like, ha ha ha. I'm like, he has a rolling pin on his head. Like, it works for me. I like it.
I agree. I don't love him, though. I think I would have actually liked a woman. I would have liked a woman. I think there's like when these.
Well, when these, that's a first.
I think that when these people, sometimes they get really panicked. Like, one thing that's really endearing about the show is that the hosts have this unique role in that they sort of come in and they comfort and they help. It's not to say that Matt can't do that, but I actually have really enjoyed that female energy that happens in those situations. Like, even on the American version, when Nia Vardalos was doing it and she would come in and help out, I was like, I was down for Nia Vardalos. So I like Matt, but I would have liked a woman even more. I think it's early.
Well, I think that that's rude. So guess what? Matt can't help it. It's just Matt.
Matt can't help it if he loves balancing things on his head.
Yeah, he can't help it. And I like him because, look, what do you think we have? We're chubby, bald guys, okay? I'm into it. I'm totally the kind of person to put a rolling pin on my head for a laugh. And I support it. You know, I support any of my tribe getting work.
Yeah. Okay.
So fuck off, Nia Vardalos.
Well, she wasn't asked back. So,
that's rude. I actually really like her.
I like her, too. It was her and her husband, but they were... I don't know. You know, the American version is sort of weird. It's pretty good, but it's not quite the same.
I couldn't with that. I tried it 2 times, and I was like, not the same. I mean, great. Good job getting a tent to film in, but otherwise, nothing else is the same.
Yeah, I think they went to the tent in England, but I'm not sure. It felt like it. It looked like it. It seemed like it. I don't know. I like that they had Sherry Yard on it, because she's, like, really huge. But, yeah. Anyway, British. British energy is where we're at today. And let's are you ready to dive into this?
Yeah. Well, this is going to be a 10-hour recap. We both wrote notes, I think, for 3 days. There was so much happening.
It was so much happening. Yeah. But it was also, by the way, one of the funniest episodes I feel like I've ever seen a Great British Bake Off, because that showstopper challenge was ridiculous. Like, that, they were basically just, like, they were just, like, punking those contestants with that challenge.
So Boris Johnson skit. We get a Boris Johnson skit to open with my little twin over there, and that's kind of cute. And then we just jump into. I barely get our politics. So I was like, I guess Boris Johnson stutters a lot.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think the part that made me laugh about that was that when he took a question from Noel and he said, "I believe we have a question from the lady in the funky dress." It was Noel. Yeah.
Adam Lambert.
Yeah.
Here we go. So we start seeing all the contestants, all the bakers, and Sura, who we find out is Sura later. She's a cute Muslim lady who's got an attitude on her, which I love.
I loved her attitude. And she sort of has this, like, she reminded me of Strega Nona. You know, she's sort of like... Strega Nona, remember that book, Strega Nona? I feel like I mentioned it like once a year about she's like this Italian grandma who has like a magic cauldron that like makes pasta, and then she goes out of town for a weekend, and like her grandson like abuses the cauldron, and like pasta keeps flowing out of it and overwhelms the town. So just like her body shape, and I'm not saying this in any sort of shameful way, but it was actually like something like very adorable about her. I was like, oh, Sura, but then she has this like huge attitude the entire episode, which is hilarious.
I know, and I love it. And she's like my favorite. A hilarious attitude. You know, it's not like total. It's like she knows she's being a bitch, and I love it.
Yeah.
So she's like, "My husband said, why don't you go on?" And I said, "I'm not going to get in. I'm not going to get in." Well, here you are.
I don't want to get in.
Sura.
Yeah. And why would I want to get in that stupid competition with cakes? Ew.
Stupid cakes. This year's bakers are going to be part of something special. And Nigel, who's like our older queen in a vest, is like, 2020 seemed momentous, and I thought, it's time.
He's got this smile where he looks like Nigel.
He's about to cry. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
He's like, or Rowan.
Rowan, yeah. He has Nigel energy.
He does. He does have Nigel energy. I wrote down Nigel a lot, but yeah, his name is Rowan.
Because if you saw him on the street, you'd think he would be a Nigel.
Yes,
you know?
For sure.
But he's actually
just
a Rowan.
Got like one of those pocket watch, you know, that's like chained to his belt. He's got it like in his vest, and it's like chained to his belt.
You know that like on a Saturday afternoon, like 5 o'clock on a Saturday, he puts on like Olivia Newton-John and drinks a martini with his with his partner.
Oh, so tummy's back there.
So then one of the narrators, by the way, I can never tell which narrators, which host is speaking, because they both have like male British voices. So I just am like the narrator. They're saying how like it's 2020, so therefore they have to make some changes, etc. And then we see a young guy, Peter, who's like, it's unbelievable. I'm living in a wee bake-off village, in a wee bake-off town. It's a wee unbelievable, which is like the most British way to start a show.
And he's also so wee himself. He's like a wee twink. He looks like Macaulay Culkin. Like he's like Home Alone. He is so cute and like so sweet. And he makes me want to adopt little babies and like accidentally leave them in the airport when I go on vacation with my family.
Yeah. And so we learned that to save the competition this year, the bakers have volunteered to leave their loved ones and live in a bake-off bubble for 7 weeks. Like, I'm sure that was a really hard thing to do. It was like, well, I could either stay here in my flat in West London, or I could live on the rolling estate out in the countryside and be on TV and eat nothing but cakes for 7 weeks. I wonder what I'll do.
Yeah, best corona time ever.
I know.
So Laura is like, well, if my husband cook fajitas, or as he calls them, fajitas, I say, he says, you should do it. And I cried into those Vegetas.
I cried right into those Haddock Vegetas so hard.
Oh, and despite everything 2020 has thrown at us, we've made it. There'll always be cake. And yeah. Prue is like, this is so exciting. It's so comforting. I was like, is anybody going to poke Prue? Somebody need to poke Prue, Prue.
Prue is the least comforting person of all time. Like, I love Prue also, but she, what she does, she wears like aggressive colors with very intense necklaces. Like, there's nothing comforting about her. She's like, oh, I'm looking forward to spending this time with these people. It's comforting. She always like also does like a shake emphasis on her words. She like, shakes her yes. head, like that sort of like, you know.
Yeah, and really she's got the full-on blue glasses to match her blue outfit. And I was like, ooh, mm-hmm. I hope she's, like, rich and has a lot of glasses and doesn't just always wear blue. But I don't know. Time will tell. So she, far, she's yeah. only just going to wear blue. That's
yeah. It. I don't remember if she has multiple. She has so she has a lot of variations on the same style. So, like, in the past, one of her signature necklaces is, like, it looks like a cable. It almost looks like, you know when people are on a reality show and they have to be in bathing suits a lot? So they basically have, like, a lanyard and then, like, a little microphone hanging off of it. That's yeah. what her necklaces look like, except they're colorful.
Usually. Oh, yeah. She had like, a colorful one with, like, little balls that looked like kind of buoys out in the ocean just yes. floating around.
That's exactly like her thing. Or she'll have one. I think she was wearing one that had like a square on it that looked almost like a stethoscope that had like gotten merged together with another stethoscope, you know?
Yeah. So this would be like nothing anyone's ever seen. And we see clips from today's episode and some drop muffins. Can't wait to mm-hmm. see that. And then yeah. there's like a punk girl who we find out later is Lottie. And yes. she just sees the drop. The clip makes it look like she sees the drop muffin and is like, solid start. And I was like, yes, Ally Sheedy from Breakfast Club.
I was getting Emma Stone from her, actually. Maybe she's like somewhere between Ally Sheedy and Emma Stone.
Emma
you know?
Stone is this generation's Ally Sheedy in Breakfast
that's,
Club.
For yeah, sure. That's fair. That's fair.
And Lindsay Lohan was, well, I guess real life Lindsay Lohan. Never mind. Okay, I'll just stop. You know what? I'm going to hedge my bet and go ahead and stop at...
Ally Sheedy.
Ally Sheedy, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. So so now everyone is like gathering for the first challenge, and the judges and the hosts stand up front. And the patterns on this show from the officials are just getting so crazy. Between Prue and Noel and now the new guy, Matt. Matt is just wearing this big red shirt with like pink polka dots. He just looks like he just came out of Kmart or like Home Depot. Just like someone doing their errands for the weekend. It's like, oh, right, now I'm going to host this TV show now. Just like, yes. There's so many patterns happening here.
And Noel kind of looks like Kyle Richards, like someone doing drag Kyle Richards, you know? It's mm-hmm. like a flowy caftan look. Yeah. Like Adam Lambert doing drag as Kyle Richards. Yeah. So, hello, bakers. Welcome to the tent. It's time for your first ever signature challenge, the Battenberg. Now, this was the word I could not think of yesterday in our recap or whenever we were recording that recap and I couldn't come up with the Battenberg. It's the Battenberg yeah. cake.
Battenberg. The Battenberg cake, which is basically rectangular in shape, wrapped in marzipan, and it has like two different or multiple different cakes in it that are like different colors, so it makes a pattern when you slice into it. So like multiple sponges. It needs to reveal a pattern. You need to have distinct colors. That's what they're looking for.
Yeah. So bake, and then one of my other favorites, Linda, this lady with like kind of like big old gray hair, and it's like, I'm so lady. Excited, I can't wait for it to begin. This is gonna noble, can't wait for it, really excited to be in.
So she's then we so get like,
happy about every little thing. They're like, Laura, you lost, and she's like, it was the most fun I've ever had losing.
Well, you know, better not next time. I mean, I'm just trying my best. I mean, it was crap. I know it was crap. I mean, but that's what's so fun about it. I felt great. I loved it.
Yeah.
So then so we cute. See Prue. Prue is so excited for this challenge. We had a nice big close up on her, and she's like, Battenberg is a lovely signature to start off with, and every marzipan lover's favorite cake. Mine too.
And then they've got a guy named Mark, who's Irish. I think he's like some kind of Irish. And he's like, well, I'm feeling like I'm starting a right wind to get going all morning. Already broke something. I've got a wacky shirt and pomade in my hair. Broken something already. Just he's like super, super cheery.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Big news! Peacock, the streaming service from NBC Universal, is home to your favorite reality shows. Ha! Huh.
Go to peacocktv.com for free! Full seasons of Chrisley Knows Best, Below Deck, Southern Charm, American Ninja Warrior, okay?
Hey, you better back it up. Guess what? If you upgrade for even more and stream your favorites from the beginning, like, you know, Real Housewives, Vanderpump Rules, Top Chef, Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Plus, they have hundreds of hit movies, thousands of episodes of your favorite shows, current shows, timeless classics, and timely updates included.
Like, seriously, you're already listening to a podcast about Bravo. Like, why would you not do this? Like, are you crazy? Like, what's wrong with you? Go do this and go see, you know, Real Housewives. Like, are you crazy? Like, what's the matter? What's happening? What's going on?
You guys, we love our Housewives and all of our Bravo, and you can watch these seasons from the beginning with Peacock. Watch for free or upgrade. Great for more on your TV, tablet, or phone.
Go to peacocktv.com to download and start streaming now. So the judges, they make their way over to a woman named Lorea. And Lorea has decided that her Battenberg is going to be a bubblegum and cream soda flavored Battenberg. And I like literally threw up on my coffee table as soon as she said that. That sounded so vile to me. And all the judges were like, and they're like, and how are you going to be getting that flavor? And she's like, well, I'll have bubblegum flavoring. And I also have cream soda syrup and cream soda flavoring. And they're all like,
Prue has a stroke. Like, Prue strokes out in that moment. She's like, like she makes like, some sudden movement. I was like, someone get Prue. And then we find out a little bit about Lorea. Lorea works as a radiographer for the NHS and gets all her recipes tested by her neighbors. And then we go see her passing out her cookies and stuff to her neighbors.
Like next to Wilson. It's like Home Improvement. There's just like there's this tall picket fence. And then we just see like bangs on the other side. And Lorea being like, I made you some cupcakes. And everyone's like, oh, very nice. Thank you very much. and then Prue, they come back and we see the plan for this cake. It's gonna be just this bright blue thing, and then Prue just shades this woman so hard. She goes, well, what I love is that you've gone for everything artificial. You said every single thing should be artificial. I love that.
And Noel says, what I love is actually everything. And all the judges are like, oh no.
So then we see Laura. Laura's going to be doing a raspberry Battenberg. Laura's the one whose husband makes the fajitas, also known as fajitas. So she's been using some raspberry ripple. She doesn't really like marzipan, but she's going to go for it anyway.
Yeah, are you a fan of the Battenberg? She's like, not really, mate. Laura is a Samaritan volunteer and takes huge pride in her garden and apparently koi fish because she's got a lot of them. She plants to pipe roses on her raspberry Battenberg.
And then she'll pipe some roses on the koi fish. They don't like it very much, but it gives her great pleasure.
So she's like, Matt, will you try some? He's like, I'll try it, but I don't want to judge it because I've got the stomach of a 9-year-old. I'll eat anything, even super noodles.
Which I'm assuming is like a British thing, because I have no idea what super noodles are. And he's like, you know, they're called bachelor super noodles, although since I'm homosexual, I call them confirmed bachelor super noodles. Anyway, I'm balancing a noodle on my head as we speak.
And she's like, oh, you're a homosexual? Never knew that. And he goes, well, I help them out at weekends.
Oh, that's funny. I get that now. I get that now. That's funny. So now we have Lottie. So Lottie spent the entire episode just like, she's just pissed. She's that person at work who is like a little bit behind, you know, like she's late for a meeting. That's what she is this entire episode. She's like, all right, well, I guess I better do this because I'm already in the fucking weeds right now. Yeah. All right, what can I do? Rhubarb and custard Battenberg. I guess I'll do the best that I can do here. I'm doing a star pattern. I don't know why I do a star pattern when I'm late for my meeting.
Yeah, I love her like anger and her thick eyeliner, her thick black eyeliner. She's, and so Prue comes over and she's like, oh, are you doing a classic four square? And she's like, I didn't want to tell you what I'm doing because I haven't got it quite right yet. I'm trying to get a bit of a funky star shape pattern. And Matt's like, Lottie lives in Littlehampton and unwinds from her job as a pantomime producer by listening to Viking metal while baking and doing yoga with her friend Naomi. I
was like, was that generated by like autofill? Like, is that a real sentence?
That's my favorite sentence of the year.
It was amazing. And then you see her doing yoga with her friend Naomi, and Naomi goes, you want to lift your arms up? And Lottie goes, no.
For her cake, she'll attempt a striped marzipan to surround her star-shaped sponge, which there could already be an issue with. And she's like, why is it fucking curdling?
I have lumps in my batter. Lumps, should I do this over? Sure, of course I should do this over. That's my life. That's what I should do. So now, we're learning more about Battenberg's, which is that they should have two complementary flavors, and then it cuts to Lorelai putting the cream soda flavor in with her bubblegum flavor, and it's like, these flavors sound so disgusting in a cake, and then do they even go well together in a cake also? I don't know.
I mean, I could go for that, but we talked about taffy a couple weeks on this show. Do you remember? I don't remember why, but we were talking about saltwater taffy, and I was like, oh, they have that at the store I order from Instacart on, and so I've just been ordering bags of it ever since. The reason I bring it up is because you're taking all these artificial flavors and you mix them all the time in your mouth, and so I'm like, oh, this could work.
Yeah.
I just ate peppermint and a mango together, and I was like, who knew that would work?
Wow. Well, actually, that could work. That's almost like very Thai, right? Like, those are actually Thai flavors in a weird way. Southeast Asian, right?
Yeah, way to elevate it. Love it.
It's how elevated. The thing is, I hate bubblegum flavor and bubblegum smells. So just that alone was making me grossed out. And cream soda is like, I feel like cream soda is, its time has passed. I feel like it had a moment.
All right.
It had a moment back in like the 50s, I feel like, but like, who, I know people, there will always be people who love cream soda. I've had cream soda. It's like fine, but it's like unremarkable. It's like that weird like vanilla sweetness that, yeah, I don't know.
I'm a cream soda person, but I really only drink sodas when I eat. So I can only have Diet Coke or Coke or Dr. Pepper sometimes, but I can't have like cream soda, or like orange soda while I'm eating.
I feel like if people really liked cream soda a lot, they would be like a major brand that had Super Bowl commercials. Okay. And there is none. So I think that like, there was a Dr. Brown's or
is it that so many people like cream soda that they don't even have to advertise on the Super Bowl?
Maybe there's like a cream soda silent majority. People who don't like talk about it.
Cream soda is going to win the presidency and everyone's going to be shocked.
It's also funny because cream soda is supposed to taste like vanilla. So it's kind of funny that this lady just didn't do a vanilla flavor. She's like, no, I want it to be vanilla, but sweeter and stranger.
Yeah. Do you like ginger ale? You know what? We don't need to go into this because we'll talk about sodas now for 5 hours. So Dave, while Lottie has had to start her trip to the sweet shop again, Dave has gone straight to the off-license. Which I guess means he's a drunk because he's making an espresso martini.
Oh, yeah. It's like, Dave is an armored security guard from Hampshire, and he and his partner Stacy are awaiting their baby. Now, Dave is, I think, I can't stand Dave. There's something about Dave, like, he's, like, very, like, humorless and unpleasant, I find. He's, like...
Well, he seems like he's going to be very good-natured because he's got a he's handsome, right?
He's handsome. He's,
like, thin, which, I mean, I guess you get points for, especially on this show. I mean, that's quite a feat. And so he's, like... I don't know. He looks like he's going to be super good natured. I'm looking at his picture right now on the cast thing, and he's like, But then the second he hears something he doesn't like, it turns into psycho face. He's like, really? He didn't like it? Oh, really? Oh, all right. All right. Fine. No. It's fine. I'm like, David's shorting out. Someone help Dave.
He looks like he is just like containing a lot of rage in his system. And I'm picking up on it. And I don't like it. By the way, I also detected a little bit of Benedict Cumberbatch in his face. Not a lot, but just like subtle hints of it here and there. Did you see that?
No, I don't see any Benedict Cumberbatch.
Just, it's very slight. Like, every now and then like I see a flash of it.
I wouldn't like him if I saw Benedict Cumberbatch. I think he seems snotty. He comes off as very snotty to me.
Yeah. Oh, well, you're going to get the Cumberbitches mad. You know he's got those fans.
He's got the Cumberbitches. Oh, yeah. Really? Then here's what I'll say. Season 4 of Sherlock. Go fuck yourself, all right? You're dead to me, Sherlock.
Listen, okay, here's what I gotta say. Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. All right, that's what I gotta say, Cumberbitches. How about that?
Oh, and here's what else I gotta say. Oh, I'm the only person in the superhero movies with a stupid power, you know? He's like, ooh, look, a crystal ball. Ooh. I was like, shut up, you're even snotty in a stupid Avengers movie, sir.
I haven't, you know, I haven't seen that. So I just know he's called, like, Doctor Strange or something like that. Great name, superhero. Doctor Strange. Oh, yeah. So you have an advanced degree. Yes, that makes you a little bit better of a superhero, doesn't it? Wow. Oh, you went to yes. med school, superhero.
Yes, you see, snotty.
Doctor Strange.
Yeah, so...
and then he gets mad when people say he's strange, I bet, huh? It's like, well, it's your name. You're strange. Just accept it. Like, own it, okay?
He just seems very actor-y. Like, if you ever interviewed him, you would because he's an actor, but if you ever saw him on the street and were like, hey, what's your favorite kind of Battenberg? He'd be like, well, when I think of Battenberg, it takes me back to the childhood I couldn't fully immerse myself in due to circumstances beyond my control.
I remember once visiting Balmoral, and we had Battenbergs there after tea, and I thought this is quite a delicious flavor, and I'll always remember it for the rest of my life. So I'd have to say my favorite flavor would be vanilla and vanilla. Thank you.
So he seems like an asshole. So he's not in this show. So Dave is going to do an espresso martini thing, and Noel's like, do you go off? What? What? He's like, oh, do you go off beat for a lot of these recipes? I mean, it doesn't seem like you're following any kind of recipe. And he's like, well, I just see a recipe as a loose satchel. Rules are made to be broken. And I was like, this is baking, okay? No.
Yeah, it says Dave with, like, the most conservative haircut. Rules are meant to be broken. That's why I listen to Blink 182.
Yeah, and so, you're a security guard. You're literally paid to enforce rules.
So then they shade Lorelei again, because then we hear, bakers are going to need to use bold colors, but unlike Lorelei, some bakers are coloring their cake with something a little less artificial. I was like, they're just going in on her. That's the British version of going in.
Yeah. And Laura is putting jam in hers.
Yeah, which I was like, I understand that you're putting jam in, but isn't the whole thing that the sponge is supposed to be colored, not the stuff?
Well, yeah, but so then, she's using... Yeah. Oh, I see what you mean.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it looked like the jam was not, you know, it was like in between.
Yeah, I don't really know. I know how much you hate things with little tiny seeds in them, and so in solidarity with you, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with me today. In solidarity, no,
Doctor Strange, you've been attacked by Doctor Strange.
I have. Heard you. I wish I was as drunk as I sound.
What does Doctor Strange actually do? What's his power?
He's magic. Like, he's magic. That's his thing. It's so annoying. You know, I don't want. You can't just be magic. Like, everybody gets one superhero thing, and he's like, "Oh, look at me! One card, five cards." I'm like, "Oh, shut up!"
He had to get an advanced degree for that. So, I'm really hung up on, like, I'm not even sure he deserved that advanced degree. If he knows magic, he probably cheated his way through his MCATs.
He's probably so mortified to be in Avengers movies anyway, you know? He's like, well, it pays the mortgage so I can do my real art.
He's hanging out with, like, Miranda Richardson on the weekend. I had to go hang out with those Avenger types again to save the world. He's like, I'm like, Meryl, why can't we just watch Wimbledon?
Meryl, you know what it's like. I mean, 101 Dalmatians, don't think I've forgotten.
Oh. So now Mark, old Mark, he's using sour cherries.
That was Glenn Close. Did I just put Meryl Streep in what? Oh my God, people, I'm sorry if anyone threw up.
It's all right, Ronnie. You just recast it. And you know why you're able to recast it? Magic.
Death becomes her, am I right? Changed it.
I can't think of any British actresses except for Miranda Richardson right now. That's all I'm like. In my mind, I'm like trying to think of like a yes and for like who else Doctor Strange is hanging out with. And to me, it's just all Miranda
Maybe
Richardson.
Judi Dench. Dame Judi Dench.
Judi Dench.
She's probably like, suck it up, Emily Sherlock. Blunt. Do the job. Make the money.
Helen Mirren. Yeah, Helen Mirren's like, oh, God damn it. Are you busy again this weekend saving the world?
Really, you want me to feel bad for you for being in a feature? Great. Why don't you come over here and see my latest project? Gardening, motherfucker! Take the job and shut your mouth!
At some point, you're just going to have to let the people fend for themselves, all right?
All right. So, Mark, with the C, lives in Cornwall. Part-time carer, full-time father to two girls. He's making sour cherry chocolate with sour cherries to help color it.
I'm like, so you are a full-time single dad to your girls, works part-time, and now you've actually left them for 7 weeks. Can someone check in on those girls?
Former father to two current orphans.
That's Mark the most British thing ever. That is like actually like hitting the jackpot if you're a British child. It's like,
well, we did have a father, but then he left to go for a baking competition and hasn't come back. Please, can we have some more?
Now we're in a musical all day long.
The British accent was invented to be orphaned by your father who left to go to a baking competition.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because I first learned about British people from musicals, but that's the only person I want to hear begging. You know, yeah. Like British children.
British
I
children
think they
can
just
beg
do it the best way, you know?
Well, they have to have like a little hat too. They have to wear like maybe a page boy hat or something, or mittens.
Those little like newsy type hats, what are those called?
Yeah, that's the only way that they really have to sell it. A scarf. A scarf is, it has to be winter also.
Yeah.
And they have to be by a window.
And there has to be lots of smoke coming out of all the buildings.
Okay, so the host is like, whoever's talking to him is like, well, you know, we have two Marks here. There's Irish Mark, who's younger and has pomade in his hair, and then there's you. So which one? What are we going to call you? He goes, why don't we call me after my dog Hamish? We're just going to call you Mark, dude.
Yeah, what a stupid name. Your name shall be Mark from here on out. Mark with a C. So then Noel's like, Matt, this is your first ever time to say this. And Matt's like,
you do it.
No, you do it.
You do it.
You do it. Bakers. We did it at the same time there. We're devilish little angels, aren't we?
1 hour left. So now deciding when to start baking your sponges is a crucial decision. Judges want strict geometric form, which means sponges hold just enough when cut, but baked too long, the texture will be lost.
And Macaulay Culkin Pete is like, I'm making a gluten-free sponge. I'm actually more used to making gluten-free than I am regular. 20-year-old Peter is a badminton mad accountant. Damn it. I haven't practiced this before because I wanted to say it right. 20-year-old Peter is a badminton mad accountancy student from Edinburgh. He began wheat-free baking for his brother, Andrew. His gluten-free chocolate and orange sponge will be wrapped in polka dots. Andrew is currently in the hospital from eating a toast. Thank you.
They are both hearts, but unfortunately only one of them can eat bread, which explains why one of them is perhaps a little bit hotter than the other. And we see them just playing badminton in their backyard, which I would laugh at, except that was me at that age too, because there was a period of time when I got very into badminton when I was around 18, and I just played in my driveway.
We see Pete's superpower. Pete's like, well, most people touch their baking to make sure it's right, but I learned from this here show that what you really need to do is listen to it. If it's boiling, it's still cooking. If it's not boiling, if
it
it's
wants
not,
you to kill a dog.
Not boiling, if it sounds calm, it's baked. Creepy and adorable.
If the cake is boiling, it's mad at you. If the cake is silent, you've been a good boy.
But if the cake is too silent, you've probably accidentally fed it some sort of gluten and ruined its entire life.
Hold on, my cake is saying something to me right now. It's saying, near, far, wherever you are, my heart would go on. Celine, is that you? Is that you?
So then we go over to Sura, and, well, Sora probably won't need to time her cakes because they're currently overflowing. And then we see her
like a macaroni and cheese. It's just like a cheese dip in the oven.
It's like bubbling over the thing. And she's like, well, I didn't use this tin in practice because it took 3 weeks to arrive.
And she sneers at the camera like it's our fault.
Amazon, like, am I maybe, right?
Maybe if all you people weren't ordering so much toilet paper, I could have gotten my tin a little bit earlier. Thanks, thanks, world.
Sura is a hospital pharmacist and lives with her cat, Ghost. She'll have to transform her overflowing sponges into perfect squares.
Well, I feel sorry for whoever's going to clean up after me because I made a mess on account of this late tin situation. Thanks, Tony Blair.
I just love having a cat named Ghost. Like, hey, have you seen my cat, Ghost? And it's like, oh my God, it's right there. I see it. It's just its name, darling. Calm down.
You can't really do pottery near that cat. It'll just come behind you with its paws. Like,
Whoopi Goldberg will get that cat and make out with you.
It's a cat named Ghost. And the cat's also on a leash, too. She walks the cat on the sidewalk. Oh. It's a lot of weird shit happening.
The show's really weird, by the way.
I love British people. They do weird shit. So so Matt's like, so are you a Battenberg fan, Sura? And she's like, I'm so over cake. I've been tasting it and trying it out, and I don't even want to have cake anymore in my ever. I don't even know why I'm even here. You know what I hate? Baking. I hate baking. I hate British people. I hate tents. I hate you. Why am I here?
And Matt's like, you might be on the wrong show, Sarah. And she goes, I know.
Don't need to tell me that, fat man.
This afternoon tea classic is famous for his marzipan wrapping. Paul and Prue have insisted the bakers make their own. So then we go to Mac. No, we go to Mark. No, it's Lorelai.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're all doing, yeah. Well, I have it that first we're going to Lorelai, but I could have just skipped Matt, Mark. But I'll just say with Lorelai.
I'm only maybe one page into 20 pages of notes. So
yeah, because everyone has these like one-line comments. So some of them I wrote down, some of them I didn't. So you probably wrote down the ones I didn't. But I've written down first Lorelai saying like, what's life like without taking a couple of risks? As she like, she puts like Bazooka Joe into her marzipan. And then Sura's like, well, I've never tried marzipan. And they're like, you got to try it, you got to try it. So I tried it and I was like, ew, disgusting.
People have such strong feelings about marzipan on this show.
They really do. Don't go to Berlin.
So Mark is making a Turkish bazaar cake because his wife loves it, and it's his anniversary. It's so romantic, except that you left your wife on your anniversary.
Okay? I'm happy.
So then we see Mark is a project manager and lives in Liverpool with his wife, Laura. And he's like walking the park with his wife and the dog. And the dog sees something and just like runs and just pulls Mark out of frame. He's like, oh, no, oh, no.
I said project manager, not dog manager, all right? So beneath his green marzipan will be Turkish flavors of pistachio, pomegranate, and blah-de-blah, blah, blah, blah. So Noel comes over and he's like, did you call your wife? Are you playing it cool? And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm not texting till she texts. He's like, So it's your first day, Andrew. It's your first day here, Andrew anniversary. It's really all stacked up against you, isn't it?
Here, now, will you walk this dog across the tent and see how we do? Let's see how you do with that. So now we get to Rowan, our resident dandy, and he's like, because now Prue and Paul, they all come over to ask him what he's doing. He's like, I'm making my night sky marzipan. My great hero music is Mozart, and his opera, The Magical Flute, is about the forces of dark and the forces of enlightenment. So outside the cake, this can be the night sky, and on the inside, which represents the forces of darkness, and the inside, the temple of enlightenment. And Paul's like, what the fuck?
I think that sounds stupid, and my last name is Hollywood. So, and he's like so into it, and Prue's like, wait a minute, how are you going to represent a temple inside a Battenberg? And he's like, with a lot of complicated cutting.
And then Rowan's little bio is exactly what you'd expect. It's him playing the flute in like a garden, as Rowan is a music teacher and lives in Purton, Worcestershire with his partner Paul. He's like, just like, just playing the flute.
Beneath his marzipan sky, his temple will be built from 13 separate sections of sponge. And then we see, like, plans, like, architectural plans laid out of all of what he's going to do. And Priya's like, have you done this before? He's like, yes. Did it work? Yes.
So now we see. Then we go back to Linda, the older lady, and she's making her Battenberg in the shape of an ambulance. Because we find out in a few moments that her cousin was a paramedic and he recently passed away. So this is her dedication to him. But of course, if this were American TV, then everything would have slowed down and the music would have gotten dramatic. But since it's British TV, they're like, stiff up a lip and all. And they're like, do, 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 do. My cousin died. So anyway, pass the sugar.
Yeah, and she's like so giggly anyway. She's like, it will be an ambulance because my cousin died of one.
You're like, wait, what? It's like, Linda works in supported housing and lives on Bexon-on-Sea with her partner Richard. They love sitting on the beach. And you just see them on this, like, gravel beach. Just like, this is quite lovely, isn't it? Just nice gravel beneath our feet by the water.
A classic marzipan is carefully kneaded mix of eggs, sugar, ground almonds, and love. And then the camera goes to Sura. It's like, let's get Sura doing her marzipan. And she's like... she just looks at the camera like, fuck off.
It's bad enough to have to handle this shit, and now you're on my face. So, and then some more shade. Marzipan is a carefully kneaded mixture of eggs, sugar, and ground almonds, a traditional recipe that Mac has decided to ignore. And so, Mac has decided he's going to use pistachios instead of almonds.
Yeah. Mac is a management accountant for Housing Association. Lots of people in housing on this show.
Housing and the NHS.
Yes, there's a lot of work with housing and NHS. I know if I ever move, what I'm getting into, housing at the NHS, damn it. Mac's story is funny because they're like, oh, look at Mac, a management accountant. And the video they're showing of him is in a full beekeeper suit with someone else just looking over like a bee, a honeycomb. Like,
Yeah, it's like his son. His son's afar. I was, like, expecting to see Rowan just, like, come into frame with his flute, like, oh, we're doing a little show now.
And Max like, my kids are the same as me. They don't like marzipan either. So then we go to Hermine, who is a training accountant, and skateboards in West London with her son. And she's like, look at me on a skateboard. And her son goes, what are you doing?
Come on, mother. So she's making a chocolate orange Battenberg. By the way, chocolate orange is, I think, maybe my favorite chocolate combination. And so the fact that there are two happening, I know. I think we've discussed this before.
I don't hate it. I do hate it in the chocolates, like the Valentine's chocolates, you know, when you get all the... I hate that orange and chocolate one, but I don't hate it. It's just mixing fruit. Fruit's healthy. That's losing weight. Chocolate is gaining weight. I don't like the two to mix.
Right. So, dark chocolate, you could argue, is healthy as well. Oh, my God. Dark chocolate's so far superior than milk chocolate.
Oh, God. That's such Fraser Crane chocolate. It's like snotty people Fraser say Crane, they like dark chocolate.
Fraser Crane is goals, by the way. Do you see Fraser Crane's life? He lives in a beautiful apartment in Seattle. He goes to the opera. He's so sophisticated. He knows things about things. He's got a lovely housekeeper. He's got a
Listen, a brother Ben, who's he nice. Doesn't know what to do about tossed salads and scrambled eggs, okay? Can't figure it out. You can have everything you want in the world, but if you can't figure that out, you're fucked.
I'm telling you, if I have to choose a Milano cookie, I'm always going to go for chocolate orange. That's my number one.
Okay, you're allowed. You're allowed to be different.
And that's why I was immediately on... Well, I was immediately on Hermione's side... But I know that Peter was also doing one too, but I liked Hermione's plans more. So I was already like rooting for her because of this.
Yeah.
And she's using marmalade in the marzipan instead of eggs.
Yes. So then half an hour left. Not a half an hour to live.
And yeah, that's they make that joke. It's not a half an hour just to live. And they cut to Dave and he's just smirks like I want a better joke. It's like, Dave, you know what? Just focus on your cake.
Yeah, lighten up, security guard.
Yeah, Blink-182.
So, Sura her cake obviously was kind of a disaster, so she's just cutting off the top, and she's like, no one will notice this, right? Well, I mean, except the cameras. Get the fuck out of here, by the way. Get out.
Lovely, a crispy cake, just what everyone wants. You know what's the only thing worse than a crispy cake? Marzipan.
Yeah, and then Roland, poor guy, is, of course, unable to construct his crazy temple. Why? Because it's fucking crazy. Okay, it's crazy. Yeah, it's too crazy.
Yeah, he brought in this like plastic thing. I think he said it was a CD storage at one point, and he had like fashioned it so that way he could like cut all the slices. So at first it seems sort of cool, but we should have known that the fact that he still had CD storage was a bad sign, you know?
Yeah. He's like, I've made slots. There are 13 different pieces. Hopefully it'll work.
Oh, it's like, it should be fine. It's like when Peter Galloway was charged to do the flute through Chopin's third.
Huh. Doesn't make sense.
So Rowan's cakes are all gross. They're raw in the middle, so he throws them in the microwave. And then 24 minutes. And Rowan's like, I think I'll have to simplify.
You think? You think building a temple is not going to work out? And then you have Lottie. By the way, Lottie is also just like losing her mind. She's like, well, making marzipan is not the skill I need going forward. You know what I need to go forward? Not skill I need? Viking death medal. Okay, that's what I need to learn going forward.
And Noel comes over and she's kind of making a mess of her marzipan wrap because it has to be like a perfect square. And Noel comes over and he's like, they're expecting seamless wrapping, you know that. She's like, oh, yes, I do. And thanks for coming around, though. That's great. Thanks for coming around.
And Sura's like rolling out her meringue, and she's like, ugh, marzipan. Well, that shows how much I like it. Because she's like, I guess there's like a crack in it or something. She's like, ugh, now I have to roll it out. Why doesn't it roll itself out, lazy bastard?
So now the bakers will face Prue and Paul for the first time. Let us start with Peter's gluten-free chocolate and orange Battenberg. Those look very pretty. I love the polka dots.
It looked neat. I said it looked neat. Prue loved the chocolate texture, and they liked the marzipan was nice and thin. Paul loved it. They said that the gluten-free dough actually worked really well for it.
Works really well with sponges. And then we go over to Max with his East Indian flavored pistachio marzipan. And Paul's like, I questioned the ginger and the orange. Too complicated.
Too complicated. And then Hermione's, I keep on wanting to say Hermione, but it's Hermione, right?
So because that transphobic bitch face who wrote Harry Potter ruined everybody's version of Hermione, and now it's Hermione. Okay?
Oh, so thanks a lot. Hermione. Okay. Great. So Hermione, so they love it. The marmalade thing worked out, and they love the bitterness that the marmalade has. And Prue's like, oh, it's a pleasure to eat it. It's a real pleasure. Pleasure to eat it.
Yeah. And Laura, celebration of summer. Celebration of summer fajitas.
With the koi fish.
And Prue's like, I expect neatness. Paul's like, I'm getting a plain sponge and the raspberry, and that's pretty much it. And she's like,
and they're like, well, there's no distinction in the color of the sponge. And they show the sponge. It's like four white squares. They're all white. What was she doing?
Yeah, with just the marmalade or whatever. And so then, and I say ugh, but it's still like fucking gorgeous compared to anything I would ever make.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And then espresso martini Dave. And here we go. He starts to look kind of like tense. This is where we start seeing his intense, crazy face. And Prue's like, nice square edges. The coffee overpowers the chocolate. It's delicious. And Paul's like, well, I don't think it's really a martini, is it? It's more of a cake. You explained it wrong.
And Dave is like, yes. And his like cheeks are now like fully red. This show, I would say this show and Love Island UK have like the highest percentage of like blushing per capita. like the amount of people who blush on these shows, it's like full on, like their cheeks just get so red.
Yeah, they really do thing. Blush.
I feel bad. So now we go to Linda's ambulance, and it's unfinished. So like the ambulance has like a few details on it, but it's basically unfinished and it's overbaked.
It has windows. He's like, it's lacking identity. It's a fucking truck. It's got windows and wheels. What the hell do you want from it? It's an ambulance.
And they just hate it. And Prue is just like, well, I wish I could give you marks for your handsome cousin, but oh well. Yeah, they just put his picture up on screen. They're like, moving on.
Come on. And then Lorea is a hot summer day treat.
Looks like a Smurf. That's like...
Yes, hers is like the blue bubblegum one. And I thought it looked pretty. But Paul's like, bone dry. Flavors are intense. Ugh, needs to be less
marzipan
heavy.
Marzipan too thick.
Yeah, too thick. The marzipan's too thick.
And when they sliced into it, all the judges like recoiled back because they could smell the bubblegum flavor. They're like, ugh. They're like, oh dear, no, why? We're not the Food Network. Don't feed this to us. No.
And then Prue's like, you know, it's really too thick. And Matt's like, when I have my ninth birthday party, will you make this for me?
I like to put it on my head.
Yeah, so then they try the Mark's Turkish Bazaar cake. Mark is the cheery Irishy guy. And yeah. Paul's like, pomegranate does nothing flavor-wise.
Yeah, that was pretty harsh anti-pomegranate sentiment.
It really was. I can't wait to say that in real life.
And then we go to other Mark, and I was like, oh, that looks pretty. And Prue's like, this is too busy. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess it is kind of busy because there was like everything was on it. But for some reason, maybe just after like the bubblegum thing, I was like all messed up.
I thought it was really pretty, too. Yeah, he did pipe too many things on there, but I thought it was still really nice looking.
But there was too much rose water, and the sour cherry was, like, very strong.
And then Lottie is going to be that kind of girl in, like, a chick flick that starts out with, like, the thick eyeliner, and she hates everything. Nah, nah, nah. But she really just wanted to be asked to prom. Like, she's really, like, so, and she gets, like, a makeover, and at the end, it's, like, some girl power song, and she's like, oh, my God, look at me. I'm wearing a dress for the first time. Because Lottie, you would never guess that this is going to come from the girl who's obsessed with Viking metal, okay?
Yeah.
It's striped. It's like beautifully. It's just like pink and yellow striped. And then when you cut into it, and it's a starburst. She's made a star on the inside, which is so cool and so girly and just so... I loved it.
Not forget the fact that she put it in a body bag first. It was like literally like Laura Palmer washing up on the beach in Twin Peaks. And she like pulls out this like plastic body bag. Like, did it come from the morgue? What's going on here? And so they love the colors. And then they taste it. And Prue is like, well, both sponges taste the same. Is it meant to? Which is like her version of Padma saying, did you mean to fuck up both sponges?
Yeah. Is it supposed to? And she's like, yeah. She goes, well, they both taste delicious and the same. Good effort. So then we go over to Rowan's magic flute, which is so funny. I mean, the whole Starry Night thing, I think he got pretty well.
It's like a
breadstick from the Olive Garden on top.
Yeah, I didn't even think the Starry Night was very good because it was like a little pale. I think if you're doing Starry Night, I think you want it to be like a dark Starry Night, you know? So they cut into it, and Prue's like, so no temple then? Could have told you that, couldn't I? High five, Paul, high five.
Then we go over to Sura's lemon and orange, and it looks really pretty. They really love it. Lovely piece of cake. I mean, we hear that about 30 times. Also, this is only the first segment of three, and we're almost an hour in, so we should probably move it along, people. Move it along.
Yeah, basically, the only thing that matters there is that Matt ate a clove. So now we move.
Didn't you think of Chef Tom when he did that? Because she had like little cloves on top, and he ate one. He's like, "What is that? It tastes like Christmas." And Sora's like, "You're not supposed to eat that, stupid." And I thought of Chef Tom, because you're never supposed to put anything inedible on a plate, okay?
Don't put a garnish on that you can't eat, you're not supposed to eat.
Yeah.
So now we go on to the technical challenge, and so it's like, this is a classic, this is, we're going to be testing your timing and consistency, so read your recipes carefully. So they're going to be making 6 pineapple upside down cakes, topped with like a pineapple ring and everything. They look like straight out of the 50s, you know?
Yeah.
So they, like... You know, some of them have made it before. Rowan's like, the last time I made this was in school. I remember that. Sura, she's made one before, but she's never eaten one. So she seems actually, like, not as attitude-y about this as she was about the marzipan.
Well, her attitude is, like, a funny attitude, so I really like it. And also, she knows she can nail this, so she's not afraid. Like, the marzipan, she wasn't as sure of, but this one, she's like, I know how to make this. Even though she's pretending she doesn't. Like, she obviously does, because she fucking nails it. And Noelle's like, so do you know how long to cook it? She's like, I'll just look at it. And he's like, oh, look at you. You've got skills. I wasn't sure. I mean, don't even wash those pants. Just throw them across the room. You're a baking superstar.
Get out of my face. So basically the challenge with these is that, like, there has to be caramel, and it's like you put in too much, the cake's not going to rise, and too little, there's not going to be the caramel flavor. And on top of that, there's issues of when you have to, like, pour them out of these little bowls or plates or whatever, molds, things can get stuck to it. So that's the big challenge.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big flan maker, so I know this pain.
And it always surprises me because they start off making caramel. It always surprises me on this show that there always are some people who don't seem to know how to make caramel. And I kind of feel like that should be kind of like part of your baking 101. If you're going on a baking show, you should know how to make caramel, right?
Sugar and water.
But some of them are like, okay, well, this is crazy for me. Is it burnt? Is this the right color? Is it not the right color? It's like, you should know this by now. You should have a caramel sense.
Yeah, it is harder to make like the creamy caramel, you know, like it's in chocolate. This kind that you pour and then bake is okay, but that like creamy caramel, ooh, I'd love to know how to make that, girl.
Wait, no, but the one where you put like sugar and water in, I think the issue is that it could crystallize and then you have to start over, right? Whereas if the one that you put the milk in, little, the milk.
Yeah. I just have never made the milk one. How do you even make
it? It's easy. The milk one is actually really violent. They're different recipes because there's some caramels.
Is it the condensed milk or whatever?
Well, they're different recipes, but some you just put sugar. Sometimes you just melt the sugar, and sometimes you have sugar and just like you put some water in there. And some like you start with the sugar and the water, and then it like starts to caramelize, and then you add the milk in, and when you add the milk in, that's when it like gargles up and is like very scary. And that's how you get the creamy one that you're talking about. Is you just add milk? I think sometimes you add butter. I'm not sure about the butter, but it's actually really easy. The hardest part is just like knowing, like all the recipes just say something like, cook the caramel until it turns a dark amber. And then I'm always like, is this dark amber? Is this burnt or is it dark amber? I can't tell. That's the hardest part.
So anyway, back to this, just because we'll get obsessed with this. I love some caramel talk. Mark, with the C, the single dad, did not grease his molds. And we've just been told the hardest thing is getting these things out, right?
Yes. And he doesn't grease the molds.
The other disaster is Linda. Because Linda has just put way too much caramel in there. And she's like, they're a disaster, aren't they? They're a disaster. What a mess. I'm going to lose.
Oh, it's not doing quite well. And then everyone's turns out pretty nicely, more or less. But there are some issues with getting them out, except for Linda's. Linda's are like a full-on disaster. Mark's are pretty bad, too. But the other issue that people have is that they have to cool these things down. And a lot of the people do not get to cool down their cakes. And so when they're putting their cream topping on, it melts off and it looks a mess. Looks like a dog's breakfast, as they say.
Yes, Linda's are by far the worst, for sure. And then it's time Linda's to bring them up to the judges, and they're all kind of standing. Please place that on the gingham.
on the gingham. Put
your face out or whatever, because it's a blind test, so they all have little pictures. So they're all getting them set up and stuff, and David, the security guard, is next to Sora, and she's putting hers down and like does this because she thinks there's a fly or something and knocks his over. He's holding his, and most of his fall on the ground.
Which is crazy. Also, like, very satisfying for me, because I just did not like Dave at all, and so I was like, ha! That's what you get for trying to crowd her space. God. His were bad anyway. Like, they were already bad.
Well, then you lucked out, because it looked like it was because they were not, right? Because everyone else who didn't have, like, even cream and all of that stuff, he kind of had a get-out-of-jail-free card, I guess. But
So his face turns beet red, and he just has this, like, rageful smile. At first, he doesn't say anything. First, he just, like, puckers his lips and is like, this, and he just like walks back to his station. He's just red and has this like strained closed mouth, and she's like, I'm so sorry I didn't realize your stupid face was right there behind my arm. I'm so sorry. And he's like, it's all right, accidents happen, like you getting into this competition, accidents happen.
He's like, don't worry, I'm sure they can go by what they looked like before they were on the ground. Thanks.
I'm not concerned at all. I'm not concerned.
And she starts crying because she's so upset. And so she's like, it's a terrible thing. And Noel and Matt come over. And Noel's like, I blame Matt, really. Don't you? And Matt's like, yes, I was looking at you, and I think you were hypnotized by my beauty. And so they make her laugh again. So then Paul and Prue come in to do their blind taste test, and Hermione is first. Well, we don't need to go through every single
one. Yeah, I mean, everything had a variety, like, some things had, some were a little doughy, some, a lot of them had issues with the cream, a lot of them had issues with the siding, etc.
The biggest disasters here are Linda and single dad Mark.
Mark. But Paul like, goes in, and he's just like, this is super dark and bad sides, and he takes it, but he goes, it's burnt. We get so mad.
Macaulay Culkin really nailed this one. They loved his.
He did. Oh, he really did. Good. He did a good job. And Sura had great piping on hers. And then he goes, they look at Sura's, which is like really amazing. And Paul goes, well, we move from the sublime, Linda's, or number 11. And then we come here to this pile of shit. Whose is this? It's like Linda's. Like, they're all flat. They look like actual pineapple discs. They're that flat.
Yeah. And Linda's just like, me. It was so fun.
What is this? This looks like it was just pushed together in the tin. Did you just find scraps of donuts from the craft service and push them together in this tin? What is this?
And then next, this is going from the bottom up. So she's last. And then is Mark, then Larea, then David, then Mac, then Mark, then Laura, Lottie, and then the top three are Rowan, Peter, and the winner is Sura. So she starts crying, Sura, and she wins. Can't smile because she's so upset that she's ruined someone else's chances or whatever. But I think he did pretty well. He's still...
Yeah, he was fine.
Yeah, I mean, he was number nine. He was like place nine, so that's not great.
Yeah. But. So then they're talking about their day a little bit, and so they're very British. And Peter's like, well, it was a bit of a crackerjack day. It was a crackerjack day. Oh, I don't know if I could feed those to my brother. They may have gluten in them. I don't know. It was a crackerjack day either way.
And Linda's like, oh, it was so fine. I mean, I had to yell at me. I mean, I gave him a pineapple fritter, didn't I?
Didn't I really? Oh, God, I would have been fuming. I would have been fuming if that was served to me.
So just one more challenge remaining before we crown a winner. So Prue is like, Prue is hanging out with the judges and the hosts, and they're in their own little room. And she's like, I'm anxious being locked up for weeks on end with you guys. There's not a grown up amongst you.
Good one, Prue. So they're talking about who's like going into this challenge, who's at the top, who's at the bottom. So, Sura and Pete and Hermione are like in line for Star Baker, and then at the bottom they're like, well, Lorelei with that awful bubblegum cake, artificial. Oh, and then there was that old Mark, not the young Mark, but old Mark. I mean, he couldn't even grease his own tins. And then certainly Linda, I mean, did you see that pineapple fritters is what I served you, didn't I?
And Matt's
I got you. I'm in the bottom.
Somebody's gone through lockdown, then they've been quarantined, and to only have 2 days in the competition. And Prue's like, yeah, that's always the worst. And Noel goes, yes, they'll walk away social distancing, all sad like, with that music from the Hulk at the end.
With the Hulk, yeah.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah, the Hulk.
I just thought it was the Hawk, like some kind of British show I didn't understand.
There probably is a British show called The Hawk. Did you see The Hawk last night?
It sounds like a British show.
I cried for hours and hours and hours. Benedict Cumberbatch and Helen Mirren in The Hawk.
I thought Meryl Streep was in it, but I'm always getting that one wrong.
It was Glenn Close, actually. It was great. Great performance all around. It's about a minister who opens up a tavern and then loses a friend.
So I've seen that, actually. So Matt and let's see. So they go in to check. Okay, so the next challenge is a cake bust. Okay?
Yes.
So they have to make their hero hero in life into a cake bust in 4 hours.
Which is already, like, this is already a disaster waiting to happen. Because you just know, even if they had 10 hours... they're not going to be making a very good bust. Like, you just know it's going to be terrible because we've seen so many things in this show. Like, every time they have to make something that looks like something, it almost always is a failure. And this one is just going to be the most epic series of failures we've ever seen on this show. So Prue is like, well, to make a cake bust, they have to do head and shoulders, and we're asking them to be engineers and decorators and bakers, and, you know, the risk is that too much icing and too much buttercream, it would make it too sweet. I'm like, I think the risk is that they're all just going to look like shit. I think that's the big risk.
I mean, I was pretty, I see a lot of them did, but I was pretty impressed the amount of stuff that they could do at all. But
yes.
With 4 hours? Wow.
So, old Mark.
No,
he
Mac.
Has this,
what? Oh, you're right. About Mark with the Mark. C. Yeah, Mark with the C. Sorry, there's too
Mark,
many.
Not Mac. There's Mark and Mark and Mac.
Mark, but Mark, old Mark.
Mac.
Mark, who's left his children behind, he has decided he's going to make David Bowie with Ziggy Stardust. And so Prue is excited. She's like, oh, he has that slender face. It's just that beautiful, beautiful man. The old slender duke, or whatever he was called, is just a beautiful man. I'm sure you will do him honor. High cheekbones, slender face, iconic. I'm sure you shan't mess this up at all.
Surely it won't look like his crickety little penis that we've all come to know and love. So then Linda is like, I like Bob Marley. He's my favorite.
That came out of nowhere. Linda likes Bob Marley.
I love her life. Fucking Linda just chilling on the beach with her husband, laughing, listening to Bob Marley music, you know?
Exactly. And then this sketch for her Bob Marley cake is like a weird, like aqua tie-dye Bob Marley thing that's like just some strange, like, under the sea version of Bob Marley.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay,
it's
sure.
It's trippy. So
not
then,
what I was expecting.
Let's see.
Laura.
We're still at Linda's, and Noel's like, is all that alcohol there for Prue? I love that Prue's like a secret drunk on
Prue's
the show.
Like, I'm jamming. I'm going to jamming with you.
Oh.
So then we go to Laura. So Laura's plan is that she wants to make Freddie Mercury. And we see the design for it. And before even the final outcome, the design looked like a Fisher-Price toy. Like, it looked like Fisher-Price with buck teeth. I was like, oh no, this is not going to be good.
It's like, well, if Freddie Mercury had lived longer, maybe he would have become the Dunkin' Donuts guy. You know, like, time to make the donuts.
Maybe he would have become an Animal Crossing character.
Yeah.
So Laura's like, well, you know, the last one that I did, the head exploded. But, you know, should work out well this time.
So then we go check on Larea, and she's like, my favorite is a poet, and I'm going to make a Flavors of Jamaica tribute to Miss Lou. And we see a picture of Miss Lou, and she's like, I've practiced multiple times. My first attempt looked like Dobby. so that's a problem.
So now Sura's going to be doing Sir David Attenborough, and Noel's like, well, he's a ledge, isn't he? Yes, he is a ledge. And Noel goes, have you met him? She goes, no, of course I've not met him.
He's like, I have. I've texted him. I sure. Said Sura needs you.
Shut up. Stop teasing me.
He's like, people won't mind if you get it wrong, but the animal kingdom will be furious with you. There'll be voles, gerbils, marmosets coming for you.
I mean, well, last time I checked, the animal kingdom didn't have to wait 3 weeks for a tin.
But Sura's will have a rival. And then we go into the senior citizen section of this show. Everybody else is just making really old people.
Are we just going to overlook the Spice Girls? Like, do we not even have a Ginger Spice? It's like, literally, her name is made for this competition. Ginger Spice. A ginger cake of Ginger Spice. Why do we not have that? Like, any of the Spice Girls. They're literally the Spice Girls. Why? What is wrong?
So, Sura is going to do Charles Darwin. And
No, not Sura. No. Mark.
Mark.
No,
Mark. What does Sura
Irish
do?
Mark. Sura does Attenborough.
Attenborough, you're right, yes. And then Mark does Darwin.
A spiced ginger sponge of Charles Darwin.
Delicious.
We knew that would inevitably come in life.
Yeah. So then Lottie's hero is alive, but doesn't look like it. And she's brought skull molds with her.
Yes.
And she's like, well, you know, all you really have to do is use the skull, because that's the thing that facial features go on top of.
She's right. She's right. I thought that was actually really smart, Lottie. Good one for Lottie.
Yeah, good Lottie. She's doing Louis Theroux.
Mm-hmm. By the way, the Beatles, Rolling Stones, not doing well in this challenge. I mean, not even Sir Paul. I mean, I was like, really?
Not, I know. Nope. But we're American, so we, you know, maybe that's like them
what
being
about
like, oh, can we go to an In-N-Out? You know, maybe that's their word. Like, where's Elton John? Like, oh, shut up.
So Rowan, he's like, I'm going to make Miss Queen Marie Antoinette. That's what I'm going to make with shoe buns for her hair. And then he's like, I'm just, they're like, okay, cool. And they leave. And he's like, ha, 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 ha. I'm just laughing at myself. I must be completely mad. I'm completely bonkers. Who in the right mind would just laugh? And then he just pulls up a teacup out of nowhere and starts drinking from it. He always carries a teacup nearby. He always has a teacup.
But Peter is taking a more simple approach, and he's chosen some bicyclist, Chris Hoy. Sir Chris Hoy.
I guess Princess Diana was too obvious. What the fuck?
I don't know.
Sir Chris, apparently, he must be a famous bicyclist, Olympic bicyclist, because they all seem to know who he was. I'm like, yeah. Not Lady Di. That's no Lady Di.
He's not Lady Diana, okay? Mm-hmm. Couldn't even get a Meghan Markle out of you people? Come on!
I mean, what about, I don't know, like, Queen Elizabeth? You know, she's only, like, a living icon. Okay? Make a cake of her.
No one's into it. And Paul's like, well, that's a clever way to get away with not doing hair or eyes. And he's like, yes, well, I don't really know how to do hair, so I chose to cover it up. And also, I don't know how to do eyes, so I'm going to cover it up. Basically, he looks like he's eaten gluten, all right? He's lost all of his hair and his eyes. That's it. I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. Well, originally it was supposed to be Emma Thompson, but then I realized I didn't know quite how to do her hair, so I put her in a helmet, and guess what? She turns into Sir Chris.
Using fondant will allow them to craft skin and hair. And then we see two big ears sitting there, and Noel goes up to David, and he's like, is this Prince Charles, then?
And Dave is like, actually, it's Tom DeLonge. Are you familiar? Blink 182. And Noel's like... Like, he's like, okay. He's like, are you a fan of that music? And Noel's like, yeah, I totally am. And Noel's like, really? Blink 182 from 20 years ago?
Yeah. And he's like, do you know what music Matt likes? Roger Whittaker. And he's like, you don't like him? He's like, no, Black Sabbath. So then Hermine is doing Lupita. Oh yeah.
I was like, ooh, this seemed to have so much promise. I was really excited by this, but you know,
didn't work out great. didn't work out great.
We should also mention that amongst all this, the Irish Mark dropped his sponge on the fridge. I was like, way to go. I mean, like, the simplest thing you have to do is put a cake on a shelf.
Okay. Yeah. So she's brought two realistic looking eyeball things with her, which is terrible.
I was like, I don't know if I want eyeball realism on my cake. That's like not what I need right now.
And then Mac is back into senior land with Bill Bryson, an author I've admired for decades. He's like,
I don't know who Bill Bryson is.
I don't either, but he's like, I love Bill Bryson. I've thought of him so many nights. I've just stared at this picture so much. I know every wrinkle, nook, and cranny. Studying his face for ages. It's like, okay. Back to beekeeping, creep.
I guess Daniel Day-Lewis is not available. Okay, fine. We'll go with Bill Bryson.
This is like this is turning into that movie where they just turn old people into Soylent Green. I mean, how many old people are we going to eat in this episode?
Yeah, and like, they're obsessed with these old celebrities. I mean, listen, old celebrities are great. We love some old celebrities. But if you're going to do the old celebrity route, I mean, hello, Maggie Smith.
Hey, right, listen, I'm no spring chicken. Yeah, I'm no Where's spring chicken. Where's the Maggie
Where's the cast of Downton Abbey? That's what I like to know. Why is there not a single Downton Abbey?
Where's Patsy Stone here? From Absolutely Fabulous? Hello? I'm no spring chicken, so I'm going to move there and try and become famous now because I'm good age for it. They love old people there.
John Cleese. What about John Cleese? What about Renee Zellweger? Technically not British, but she played a Brit.
Not old enough. That. Sorry.
Apparently. What about Mr. Bean? Mr. Bean. That's actually, you know what? I think Laura, midway through when Freddie Mercury wasn't working out, I think she should have said, it's Mr. Bean.
Yeah, she should have.
It's Mr. Bean.
So next up, things aren't going so well at Rowan's hair salon. And of course, his shoe are flat. The little balls are just flat.
How did that happen? Yeah, he's got flat shoe.
And he's like, no, they're going to be like, how wacky. Who would do such a thing to flatten a shoe?
And now my favorite part of the episode, the part where the strain is taking its toll on the sponges, and now they're actually building their bus. And this is where Laura's Freddie Mercury head just like falls off its pole and loses its basically the entire bottom half of his jaw. Yeah. And it's just like everything is going wrong. Marx falls over. Linda's was actually like shaped. Linda's was shaped, but it looked like a giant like sea creature.
Yeah, I liked hers, but of course I'm partial to Linda. And Linda's like, oh, amazing uptown floors when you're having fun. And Lottie's like, who said they were having fun?
Lottie's was terrifying. It was like this pale skull that it looked like it was like a White Walker or something. Like, yeah. I was like, what? Yeah. I was like, get away, everyone.
And then I was like, Lottie, is that the Grim Reaper? She's like, rude.
And now Laura's head, the Freddie Mercury head, so it's missing everything below the mouth. So it's just like this little ball with like buck teeth at the bottom, just sitting there on the table. I was like, no. It should, Mr. Bean, rebrand this Mr. Bean right now.
Yeah. So Hermine is making hers, and she's like, so embarrassing making boo-boos on national television, because she's making boos. And then David Attenborough, Sarah's like, he looks absolutely knackered, poor David. What done to David? So we've got to get Laura's head on.
Yeah, and look, by the way, Laura's, so she's making this poet, and they cut to it, and it looked like E.T. I was like, oh no, why are you turning this famed, beloved poet into E.T.? No. It literally was like when E.T. was in the basket. I was like, no.
Every head is crazier than the one that came before.
And Mark's David Bowie looked like Chucky. It was just like a disaster.
Yeah. And Sora is helping Laura put hers. They're like, you have to, because her head ends up falling off onto the table. So like, oh my God, go fix it. So Sora goes in there to help, and they're all trying to help her. And then she ends up just getting a roll of pastry bags and putting it behind. And she's like, I had to put piping backs. And now it just looks like he's on a travel cushion.
Yeah, because Sura's starts to fall over after they leave the tent. Once they're all done, they have to like get the rolling things under it.
Oh, and yeah, then, it's hers. Sorry, so it's Attenborough who's on the cushion.
It's Attenborough, but there were issues with Freddie Mercury. They were trying to get a pole and everything, and then David Bowie. Ultimately, when you finally see David Bowie, when it's finally finished, I was like, I think that's the Maid from Different Strokes. I think that's Pearl. It looked exactly like Pearl to me.
Oh, God. So then we go to judging, and Rowan is first with his Marie Antoinette. And so he did a pretty good job. He used...
It's
what
great.
Kind of paper did he use there? His was
really
nice.
He said it was rice paper. I think he said rice paper.
Yeah, his turned out really, really nice. And he's like, well, the shoe bombs were a disaster, but I guess anyone could see that was coming because it was crazy.
And then Paul is like, it looks beautiful. Now let me just slice her through the face.
I know. So creepy.
They actually cut away, which was kind of funny. I think they had to cut away because it was probably too visceral. Because it was a great face.
Yeah.
So then we have Lottie's Louis Theroux. And Prue's like, oh, it's a slightly anxious look. And a very, it's very Louis Theroux. Very, very Louis Theroux. I was like.
Also, just like scary. Louis, it's bone dry. Paul.
Yeah.
And Mac. Bill Bryson? Was it Mac who did Bill Bryson?
Yeah. Yeah. Prue's like, well, this is obviously Bill Bryson. I was like, is it? It looked like Bob Balaban with the flu.
Yeah. And then Linda's Bob Marley, I thought was really cool. I mean, she didn't get eyes and everything on it, but it looked like a statue, kind of like a tie-dyed statue version of him.
Yeah, sort of. And Paul's like, well, I want a mouth. I mean, he's known for his mouth, so why can't we have a mouth? But it's delicious. So she redeemed herself. She was in the bottom, but he said it was delicious, so we knew Linda was safe.
Yeah. And then in honor of Sir Chris and... Whose is this? Peter?
This is Peter. It was cool. It was really cool.
It was cool, yeah.
Because it was sort of like... It wasn't just like a bust. It was like... And it actually looked like a proper bust. It didn't look like a crazy like claymation thing from the 80s.
Yeah, for all the Americans out there, it was very Speed Racer. Right.
Very Speed Racer, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was delicious, and they thought it was very witty. I thought it was a great cake.
Yeah, and then David is next. Flavors of Tom DeLonge.
Oh, no, God. It actually looked to me what I would imagine a Blink-182 band member would look like 20 years later.
But yeah, melted. Like... It's basically like Tom DeLonge turns into Adrian Maloof.
It was horrifying, and he had that hat. The hat was cool, but it was just like this like rumpled, melted face.
Not good.
And so and it was so Prue bites into it and is like, toothpaste-y.
And then you're like, well, maybe she'll like that something else in there. And she's like, and very chemical. It's like, oh no, sorry, David.
He's like, I should have gone with My Chemical Romance. So stupid.
So then Ziggy Marley, and
or David Bowie.
Yeah, I mean, sorry,
Ziggy Stardust.
Yeah. So Prue. What is wrong with me? I think I'm about to fall over. This has been very long. I'm like, wow, what else is happening with cake? So well, Prue's Ronnie like, fought, well,
Ronnie, it turns out Ronnie is a soft sponge, and he's struggling.
I'm raw in the middle, guys. Sorry, I'm raw in the middle.
His structure is struggling. He's about to fall off his pole.
So Prue's like, that's as far away from David Bowie as you can get. He's like, more like Jabba the Hutt, right? This is Mark with
it
the
C. Like, literally so non-David Bowie. It was like this big eggplant shaped face, like with his like jowls. That it was like when I got my wisdom teeth out, that's exactly how my face looked. It was like so the opposite of it. It was hilarious.
And then the Ode to Lupita by Hermine. Yeah, it's just not
good. I was rooting for this cake.
They kind of cracked up at the cake because the face looked so crazy. But then she did an amazing job with the texture of the clothes. It looks like real fabric. Your work with that is amazing. So
I felt like the Lupita cake looked like someone that you work with in like accounting who always has a story to tell you from the weekend. Like you go by her desk, she's like, oh, well, I have a story to tell you from this weekend. You're like, okay.
Those like ruffle shirts, like off the shoulder. You're like, why are you even wearing that to work?
She walks by her desk. She says, busy. Don't look like it. And she keeps walking. That's what that cake looked like. It was saying.
Oh, so then we see a coconut buttercream Darwin.
I thought it looked cool because it was like a proper bust. So it looked stone. I thought that was like a really good workaround for having to do some of the details, you know?
Yeah, that one was good. But then we go to Larea's, her flavors of Jamaica, and she's put a lot of chili. And when they showed her baking this, she takes like a huge, huge lump of ginger, like, you know, the mashed ginger, and just like, bleh. She's like, it's going to taste really good. I make this all the time. I was like, no!
I feel so bad for her neighbor on the other side of that picket fence. She's probably on the receiving end of some really terrible things.
I'm glad that so many people in that neighborhood work for the NHS, because you know that bitch got leaky gut.
So the chili was too strong, and so was the ginger. And also the cake looked crazy, like all the other cakes. Yeah. And then we get to Sura's David Attenborough. And Paul's like, well, he's reclining, because he's basically just like back like this.
Yeah. He'd
fallen over before. And so I was like, well, he's taking a nap, you know, sort of like the delivery system when they were delivering my tin, taking a nap for 3 weeks.
And then we see Freddie Mercury and they just all crack up at it. And Laura's like, it was going so well. And then the head exploded again.
But they love it. They said it was really good. They said the issue is that because the sponge was so moist, which is why Freddie's head was squashed.
Yeah, and she's so happy to just not have a bland cake. So then the decision has been made. So Matt has the rather pleasant job of announcing this week's star baker, Macaulay Culkin Peter. And he's like, I've never been happier. Oh, thank you so much. I'd like to thank my mother, my father. I'd like to say, I hate you, gluten. I hope you die. Cheers,
I'd like brother. I'd like to thank the Badminton Association of Great Britain, also known as Bagby.
And who's out?
Larea. Yeah, I mean, she was a disaster. And the bubblegum cake, the ET cake, it just was not gonna.
Yeah, didn't have a great week. So she's, you know, this show's so sweet. Like, she takes it really well. And she's like, well, I did really well getting here. So, you know, I'm proud. Someone has to go.
Yeah, and Paul's like, it's too bad because I saw great potential in her and I wanted to help her, and say things like, don't put bubblegum flavor on that cake, or don't put cream soda flavor on that cake, or don't put chili in that cake, or don't put ginger on that cake. But unfortunately, I couldn't. I just had to suffer.
Yeah, and then Rowan goes over to Pete and he's like, I said I was putting my money on you.
I didn't see him say that. That's so Rowan.
He's like, he's like, I will take you under my wing, little twink.
I will show you the ways.
Yeah. And then Pete calls home and everybody's all happy. And what a cute show.
I know. It's so lovely.
Loved it.
Well, we'll be back next week to recap the next episode. I probably won't be. I think that once the number of people on the show go down, then the episodes won't be as long.
They're 10 minutes shorter. I looked at the season before. This one was a little long, but they're usually about 10 minutes shorter, but.
Okay. Well, that 10 minutes makes a difference.
On this show, it does. It's an hour of time on this show, of our time.
Well, I had fun talking about it.
Me too.
Everyone, we'll be back. Our next Great British Bake Off recap will be next Wednesday. And we'll be back tomorrow with some Real Housewives of New York Secrets Revealed, which we don't normally do, but we just love Roni so much, so we have to do it.
Yeah.
Until then, thank you all for listening and for watching, and we'll see you on the next episode. Bye, bye everyone. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D. There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
Shannon better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible, edible Matthew Sisters.
The Wyndham Beneath Our Wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Lordess, the Lordess of the Rings.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.